It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right. I know it's a Friday. Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I know it's a Friday, but we got to have an adult conversation.
Already?
Yeah, we got to talk. We got to talk like adults.
All right.
We got to talk about Brock Purdy.
You're talking to me like I'm Will Levis.
You said what?
You said you're talking to me like I'm Will Levis.
Yeah, you're a grown man. You know what to do or what not to do.
Allegedly, that's what they say about us.
I'm going to be Brian Callahan today.
Yeah.
That's bad. I don't think he's a very good coach. We'll see. I'm not buying the Titans. What do you want? Anyways, we'll talk about that later. We got a ton of Week 3 NFL stuff coming up, of course, at 10:30. Fantasy Friday with Faraz Siddiqui. We are taking your fantasy football questions. It's a mess right now. There's so much going on. It's going to be super valuable to hear from Faraz today. We are answering your questions at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Jump in there, send your questions, and we will ask them to our guy Faraz at 10:30. Faraz Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy. But before we get to any of that, we need to have a real conversation about Brock Purdy.
Oh, we're really just starting off hot right now.
It's a Friday during the NFL season. We're throwing fastballs.
I got you.
You can do one of two things with Brock Purdy this week. And what you decide to do determines exactly where you fall on the Brock Purdy analysis spectrum. You can either call Brock Purdy a top five guy or top 10. We'll say top 10. You can either call Brock Purdy a top 10 guy or you can make excuses for him this week. You can say Brock Purdy is top 10. Okay, fine. Then the Niners need to go beat the hell out of the Rams this weekend. If Brock is a top 10 guy, that's exactly what will happen. George Kittle, unlikely to play. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. That cropped up yesterday. Or we became aware of it yesterday. It's unclear exactly when the hamstring injury cropped up. He was a full participant on Wednesday and then a non-participant yesterday. Doesn't look like he's going to play. That means no Debo, no George Kittle, no Christian McCaffrey. If Brock Purdy's a top 10 guy, the 49ers still have plenty. They still have Brandon Ayuk. They still have Juwan Jennings. Jordan Mason has been excellent. The offensive line is intact. That's plenty. Brock Purdy should go hang up a bunch of points on a Rams defense that is not very good. If you want to go, well, hey, he can't. He needs at least two All-Pros at the skill positions. He can't. Huh. He needs, and that's fine. If that's what you believe, if you believe that Brock Purdy can only operate at a high level, can only function at a high level with Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and one of Debo Samuel or Christian McCaffrey, that's totally fine. I don't hate it. But if that's the case, then he, to me, is not a top 10 guy. Then he's that kind of middle of the road where Stephen Ruiz have him ranked like 16th.
Yeah, probably.
Then that's probably about where he is. If he's going to go continue to struggle when he's not surrounded by a bunch of all pros at the skill positions, then okay, yeah, he can function in the 49ers offense at a high level. Other than that, he's just kind of a middle of the road guy.
Yeah. And then we got Tyler Jennings in the chat. I don't think, says division games are always weird, though, Kyle putting on one game seems to. I don't think Kyle's putting on one game. I think it's the stretch of games, maybe without Debo and all that, too.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah. It goes back to the Vikings game is kind of where it starts because you're going, that was kind of odd. He had killed the teams every time he had played him a second time. He'd played better, and he was not great against the Vikings. Like, okay, but yeah, division games are weird, but the 49ers are way better than the Rams right now.
They're elite Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, right. So I'm not saying that they need to go hang up 50 points and win 50 to nothing, but if he goes out and struggles in this game, I'm going to have questions, and frankly, you should too.
Yeah.
If this is a top 10 guy, you don't, and this is the thing, is this to me is a compliment to Brock Purdy. There are expectations that come with playing at the level that he has played at. And that's kind of what this is to me. The expectation is, A, he's going to be their guy over the next 5 to 8 years, 5, 10 years, whatever it is. And this is kind of what a more normal NFL offense looks like.
Yeah, I don't think what you're saying is not fair to Brock Purdy either. Like, if he is this top 10 guy, like, you look at Josh Allen over in Buffalo, who's his number one receiver? Take your pick out of the three guys, Shakir, Coleman, or Curtis Samuel, whoever you want to take your pick out there. They're 2-0 right now.
Juwan Jennings would probably be the number one receiver on that team.
I don't think you're wrong.
lot of number twos and threes.
Either way, like I think Brock Purdy is a top 10 guy. So for me, if the 49ers, if they're without Debo the next two games or whatever, I think they're going to come out of it better than, let's say, going under 500 in this little stretch right here. Like, I think they'll be fine. But yeah, if Brock Purdy is who we say he is and all that, then the 49ers should be fine. You still have your number one receiver. You have a guy running for 100 yards per game. You're a top 10 quarterback. Defense is still really good. That's more than plenty other teams have in this league.
Yeah, and this is not, if the Niners offense is humming and their defense just can't get off the field on third down again and they go lose 28-24, that's not on the court.
Yeah.
This is about, and you're going to know it when you see it. Like, you'll know it during the game. If Brock Purdy's going to go out against this version of the Rams, and our division game's wonky 100%, Tyler Jennings is not wrong. Division games can get weird. But at the same time, I'm expecting Brock Purdy to go play well.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a throw that hits Brandon Ayuk in the chest and goes up in the air and gets intercepted and returned for a touchdown, and then there's a punt block returned for a touchdown, okay, yeah, weird stuff happens, no doubt. But you'll know when you're watching, either, man, Brock Purdy is just carrying these dudes right now. Okay, then that's what he's supposed to do. If he goes out and he struggles really bad and the Niners can't move the football and they're getting into third and long and he's not converting, I got questions.
And it's not that guys like CMC and Debo, it's just, oh, well, they're not there, it's not going to affect anything. No, it's just a top 10 quarterback can play through this.
Yeah, and that's that. Thank you. That's an important point here. This is not, oh, they need to go score 35 points to justify everything brought. No, that's not it, because their offense is just not going to be as good. That's just facts.
Mm-hmm.
But they should be fine.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be, man, they only hung up 17 points again, because that appears to be the magic number when the Niners have guys out. But, man, they hung up 17 points again. And, okay, yeah, Brock had a couple of good throws. But, boy, he really struggled. He was indecisive again. And that, to me, is now stacking that on top of last week. And stacking that on top of last year when Trent Williams and Debo Samuel were out. And I think Christian McCaffrey got banged up, too, against the Browns. But this is where, to me, over the next couple of games, we're going to find out exactly where Brock Purdy is. We've kept talking about, again, we go to the Stephen Ruiz rankings just because that's an easy catch-all. For people who think he's middle of the road, this is the scenario that they're putting him in. They're saying, yeah, on a normal NFL offense, what does he look like? And if he's a middle of the road guy, then I got long-term questions.
Yeah.
But my expectation is, now to bring this back to what I think is going to happen, I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I'm a believer in what Brock Purdy has done and what he is doing. I expect him to go out and again, not hang up 35 points and throw for four touchdowns or anything crazy like that, but I expect there to be adjustments. I expect him to command the offense. I expect him to make it work with Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk and Jacob Cowing and maybe some Ronnie Bell sprinkled in there. I fully expect him to make all of that work, because that's the expectation that he's kind of set. That's the level of play that he has reached over his first season and a half. Like, all right, now you got to go prove it in a regular NFL offense.
And you're not doing it against the Ravens or these top tier teams or whatever either. This next these games coming up, like the Rams are beat up, and I'm checking up who they got after that.
The Patriots.
They got the Patriots. The yeah, so the Cardinals are looking good. We'll see about them this week. They got the Lions this week and all that. But we saw what the Patriots were yesterday. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But like, this isn't a murderer's row of teams coming up. Like,
no.
This should be easy for Brock Purdy to handle.
And this is where, so one of the things I go back to, I was thinking about this today, because it always goes back to the 2016 Falcons, right? That was the, like, Kyle Shanahan offense that put him on the map. It's why the 49ers hired him in 2017. That was the year that Matt Ryan won the MVP. Matt Ryan, 70% completions that year, almost 5,000 yards, 38 touchdowns, 7 picks, averaged 9.3 yards per attempt. It was just incredible, right? And the Falcons offense cooked all year. What'd they average? 34 points a game. And that's with Matt Ryan, who's a good player, but Hall of Famer? Probably not. Mm. Like, his numbers are, he has a lot of numbers. He accumulated a lot of numbers.
I would say if he won that Super Bowl, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, Matt Ryan's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Matt Ryan's a pretty good player, which is kind of where I have Brock Purdy. That year, okay, yeah, they had Julio Jones. Who do you think was second in receptions on that team? Julio Jones at 83. Who was second?
I mean, my mind immediately goes to Roddy White for some reason, but I don't know. Henry Douglas or something?
Roddy White was not there. Who'd you say? Harry Douglas?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just naming off Falcons receivers from my mind.
No, Harry Douglas also not there.
Yeah.
All those teams all bleed together to me.
Yeah.
Mohamed Sanu with 59 catches.
49ers great, right?
49ers legend, Mohamed Sanu. After that, it was the running back Devontae Freeman. And again, these are like okay players, but is Mohamed Sanu markedly better than Juwan Jennings?
They're the same player.
Mohamed Sanu might be a little bit better.
The same tier of player, though, I think.
His numbers are better, but because to me, that's more opportunity than anything. Devontae Freeman, pretty good player.
Yeah.
Better pass catcher than Jordan Mason, to be sure. But then it's like Taylor Gabriel and then Tevin Coleman and then Jacob Tammy was the number one tight end. Like, this is not... That was not a roster that you're looking and going, wow, that is just, oh.
Yeah, with the 49ers have on
two
offense.
Two Pro Bowlers.
With the 49ers have on offense when they're all healthy is just a luxury that they might only be the only team that has
it's
that.
It's the best Chiefs situation
even,
in the league.
The Chiefs don't even have that. They got Mahomes or whatever, but just everyone else does not.
The Chiefs, in the, frankly, the 2019 Chiefs didn't even have that.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is awesome. Travis Kelce is awesome. But then what was the dude's name? Damian Williams?
Yeah.
Was there running back in that game? Like, so, no, when this offense is right, I think they're going to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're healthy by mid-October or the end of October, I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to make a deep playoff run. But to me, what this is about with Brock Purdy is about the next 5, 8, 10 years. And if you're not able in these next couple of games, if you're Brock Purdy, to figure it out and help raise the level that Juwan Jennings has played at, and get Eric Saubert or Jake Tungus, whoever's going to play tight end, getting them some targets, getting them involved, figuring out a way to get Jordan Mason the ball. And some of this is on Kyle Shanahan too, but the quarterback at some point has to go make plays if he's going to be that dude. Well, yeah, you're going to be a $60 million a year guy. You got to make plays.
That's it right there. There's the aspect. You're going to give him all that money next year. So it's kind of like, all right, show it.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is the highest paid quarterback in the league right now. Dak Prescott is not the best quarterback, but it's like, all right, he's that good or whatever where you can justify that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now you're just looking for the same from Brock Purdy. But yeah, he's done it before, and I think he will do it going forward, but it's just more of the same.
It's prove it time for Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. What do you need to see from Brock Purdy this week? 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That is the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Would love to hear from you. What is your expectation for Brock Purdy with no Debo Samuel, no Christian McCaffrey, and likely no George Kittle this week in L.A.? We'll get back to that game coming up. Well, let's talk more about it right now, actually. We're gonna just stick on Niners Rams. Niners got to have this one, right? Forget
absolutely,
the Brock Purdy thing
yes.
for a second. You got to get this one.
Like I said, Brandon Ayuk is still there. Top 10 wide receiver. I feel confident about that. Probably top 8, you can make the argument.
Sure.
Yeah. Jordan Mason tearing it up. Defense, yep. Fred Warner still there. Nick Bosa still there. Winnie Ward might not be there. But either way, you're a Super Bowl contender. You're still an elite team. You just have to win games like this. That's the expectation. And that's the standard.
My issue with this week, and Tyler Jennings, I'm going to keep going back to what he said because I think what he said is super important. Mm-hmm. And Tyler Jennings said this in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Salute to everybody watching on YouTube. Division games are weird. They can get weird.
Can confirm.
No doubt. Like, without question.
For some reason, the Dolphins beat Tom Brady in his heyday in Miami every time. Never made sense.
But if the 49ers go lose this game to the Rams, it gets really, really difficult to go, oh yeah, you feel great about them going in and beating New England, who we'll talk about in a minute. But you feel great about that. Oh man, now they got the Cardinals. Okay, you feel really good about that. All of a sudden, you're going, hey, can they beat anyone right now? What is this? What is this team that has now lost two in a row and they're super banged up and they're not going to be any healthier next week?
Mm.
That's the concern for me. And that's why you got to go get this one for the standings.
It just kind of sets the tone.
Yeah, dude, 1,000%. And if they go and on the flip side of that, if they go in and beat the hell out of the Rams with this version of their roster,
we're all good then.
I'm going to be extremely impressed. So it goes both ways. You just got to have this one.
Yeah.
If it's ugly, it's ugly. You got to come out of there with a W.
That's all that matters.
That's it. Yeah, no doubt.
Because like Tyler Jones, it's weird and all that, but the Rams are down their entire offense, it feels.
They have 6 dudes on IR who are supposed to come back at some point.
Yeah. And maybe
you have a maximum of 8 for the year.
And maybe DeMarcus Robinson can be that guy. He's probably not going to.
Yeah. Tutu Atwell and
there's no excuses for the 49ers.
Jordan Whittington or whatever his name is. Colby Parkinson, tight end.
Sounds like a kicker's name.
It does. That's big kicker energy.
Sounds
for
like
sure.
A Tampa Bay Buccaneers kicker.
Hella specific. Yeah. That's 49ers-Rams. We'll talk more about that coming up in a bit. Niners got to have that one. But the Rams got to have it too.
Yeah. Rams are low-key playing for their season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not low-key.
Trying to stay alive.
High-key.
High key. Yeah. Very, very high-key. The Raiders open their home schedule this week against the Carolina Panthers. Here's where I'm at with the Raiders this week. However this game goes is going to set the tone for the rest of their year. If they beat the hell out of the Panthers, I'm going to feel super justified from before the year going, I think they're going to be in the playoff hunt. I think they're going to stick around. Maybe they don't make it. Maybe they finish 9-8, and that's just not quite enough to get there, but I think they're going to be in the hunt. I think they're going to be a factor. If they beat the hell out of the Panthers, I'm going to feel great about that.
This is low-key like a mystery door type game. Follow me here. It's kind of like, all right, Raiders, there's one door right here, and it's like, just you walk through and you'll be a legit team. Just beat the Panthers. That's all you have to do.
Beat the heck out of them.
Yes, just be a normal NFL team. Mm-hmm. And just walk through this door. Or it's the mystery door. And you can just kind of be with the Raiders have been. It's like, huh, maybe Andy Dalton kind of tears it up a bit. Maybe Gardner Minshew's not playing too well. Hey, maybe we kind of see this door looks a little fun.
Yeah.
Just be normal this one time.
Just walk through the normal door.
Yes, that's it.
If they lose,
so we could talk nice about you on Monday.
That's it, dude. If they sneak by with a win, they're like, oh, they won 21-20. And there was a weird thing that happened at the end of the game. I'm not going to feel great.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. Like, that feels like a... But I'm expecting them, based on what we saw last week, I'm expecting them to understand that this is a, like, momentum-seizing moment.
Mm-hmm.
You can put yourself in a spot where you go beat Carolina by 20 and you just handle business, control the whole game, be the way better team, and put yourself in that echelon of, yeah, hey, you know what? No chance. They are way better than the Panthers. Panthers way down here, Raiders way up here. That's what I think is at stake this weekend, and I think it'll define the rest of their season.
Yeah, the Raiders aren't the 49ers, but the Panthers also aren't the Rams, if that makes sense. Like, the Raiders are that much better than the Panthers. Like, this is a game
they
where...
They are that much better?
They are. Yeah. Like, your running back situation isn't great, but what you have, like, you should still handle business against Carolina. Carolina's just a mess now, and I don't even think they know what they want to do at this point.
Andy Dalton makes them a little more dangerous, for sure. But they are so... Their roster is bad.
I think it's the idea of Andy Dalton.
Well, it's also... I think it's the idea of Andy Dalton, sure. But it's also the bar was so low for quarterback play that... The floor that Andy Dalton sets is just so much higher than the ceiling they had.
We'll be impressed if Andy Dalton throws for 200 yards this week.
Would I be?
No, I think we will be. He throws for 200 yards and a touchdown or whatever. Like, wow, he actually did something this week.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think 200 is a good number. It's because it's Deontay Johnson and...
Adam Thielen.
Oof.
I saw they had Adam Thielen run jet sweeps in practice today.
Get out.
Yeah. Andy Dalton catches it, drops it, Adam Thielen. Takes off.
Stop.
Better watch out, Raiders. No, that's a really... Yeah,
Max Crosby's going to light it up this week, dude. Max Crosby's about to
throw him over. Throw him over his shoulder.
The Panthers are averaging 13 points a game, and they're giving up 36.5 points per game.
Do they reach 17 this week?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so. Who's their leading... I'm going to... Hang on. I'm doing a deep dive on the Panthers right now. This is...
The way I see this game going right now...
Hey, do you know who their leading receiver is right now?
It's got to be... It's not... I don't know. Like,
it's Deontay Johnson.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson.
I feel like the easy answer, but...
5 catches for 34 yards.
All right.
Adam Thielen also... I'm sorry. Adam Thielen also 5 catches for 69 yards. And then you have 4 catches for 12 yards for Chuba Hubbard. 4 for 35 for Xavier Leggett. Their rookie wide receiver.
Can you imagine being a Panthers fan?
No.
Like, just watching this?
Oh, Jonathan Mingo, of course. 3 for 41. Yeah, why not?
How do we miss?
They've yet to have a passing touchdown. Their one rushing touchdown came from Bryce Young.
Here we go, Rook. Second-year player, I mean.
They're going to have no players playing in the game on Sunday who have scored a touchdown this year.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's due.
Yikes, dude.
What happens this week? What's more likely? The Panthers get an offensive touchdown or the Raiders score a defensive touchdown?
Oh, man.
Because I'm leaning towards the Raiders scoring a defensive touchdown on this one.
Yeah, dude. There are so many things that can get sideways for the Panthers. But an offensive touchdown, like...
We just read the stats, bro. No one has more than 70 yards receiving. Your only rushing touchdown.
The only rushing touchdown is from
the guy on the bench has the only rushing touchdown.
Raiders up 27-3 late in the game. Panthers just cruise down the field and get a touchdown?
I can't, like, if I can't, no, I'm not going to give you that. Is there any
I'm giving the Panthers offense a BOD here.
All right, you're going to go with that
I'm
one?
I'm giving it to him.
All right, I'm going to go with the Raiders on this one.
I'm going to be so mad if you're right.
We'll check back.
I'm watching so intently just for this.
Is there any point in this game where the Raiders are beating the Panthers so badly that Bryce Young comes back in to finish out the game?
No.
No? You think anyone plays no matter what?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bryce Young's in that, like, Zach Wilson stage.
Does he get emergency QB?
Yeah, probably. Ooh. Tough. No, maybe not. That's a lot. Emergency QBing a guy is
a lot. That's the thing. If you're going to sit him, like, how are we doing this? Are we going 100% or what's going on?
They don't even have a third quarterback, so.
Okay.
Jake Luton, Oregon State legend, is their third quarterback.
I think
he's on
IR. All right. Sorry, Jake Luton. Feel better.
So, yeah, Bryce Young won't. I don't think he gets emergency QB'd.
It's going to be a fun game just because there's so much, like, we're just scared of the Raiders and their past. That's all it is at this point. Like,
they should win this game easily. They should. And the thing that's difficult is they've not done enough to get the benefit of the doubt from it. It's a little bit kind of where the Kings were going into last year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can feel good about it, but you can't pencil them in because the track record's not there yet. So that's where I'm at with the Raiders. I got to see it first.
This would be a start, though.
Definitely. Definitely. I do think they win. I do think they handle business. I think week one was a little bit of a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like an outlier. Like week one was an outlier. I think
we could week two week got him back on track. Preseason this, preseason that for them.
Yeah, I think week two got him back on track. I feel good about him. Feel good about the Raiders this week. We'll get more into that later. Again, we're going to run through all the week three games because there's a chance for some teams to make some statements. We'll do that coming up in a bit. I think the season officially began last night, though. The Jets-Pats game went how you would imagine a Jets-Pats game is supposed to go.
That's fair, and I agree with that.
The Jets are supposed to be the way better team, and they just were that entire game.
Yeah, because we went into this game, too, like, oh, the Patriots, like, they kind of look kind of frisky or whatever the first 2 weeks. Maybe they got some, maybe they don't, and now coming out of the game, it's like, all right, now we know who they are.
Zero frisk.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single frisk.
Nope.
From the Patriots last night.
Nope, we know exactly who they are. And the Jets, they took care of business. I'm not going to as overreactive as everyone else, I think, has been with them coming out of that game. But they looked like they were supposed to.
That's it. They looked so much better than they had the first couple of weeks on both sides of the ball. They were playing their third game in 11 days. They're playing a Patriots team that you and I both went. We talked about, like, man, is this going to be a good game?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the Jets just washing a bad team.
I thought maybe we were going into, maybe it'd be like 17-13, something close, defensive game, ugly or whatever. It would be close. Yeah, no, wasn't that at all.
Not even a little bit. Jacoby Brissett, 12 of 18 for 98 yards. He got benched. Drake May came in at the end of the game, goes 4 for 8 for 22 yards. Aaron Rodgers, 27 of 35, 281 and a couple of touchdowns. That's, I think, when the Jets looked at this year, I think this is what they envisioned, and this is more what I think they're going to look like moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to win 13 games, but I think they're better than they were the first couple of weeks, and I think the Patriots are worse than they were the first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because they confirmed my priors, but...
Well, it's like you said, it looked normal, I guess. It looked like kind of what you would expect.
Yeah.
Like, the Jets didn't do anything like out of the ordinary. They just played good football and ran the football. Breece Hall was fine, was great and all that. Aaron Rodgers spread the ball amongst his receivers and all that. The defense shut down the offense. It was a clean football game from the Jets.
Yeah, so that's what that was the official start of the year for me, where, okay, all that preseason stuff, like the Jets figured out who they are, and the Patriots kind of fell back into what we thought they would be. And again, maybe this is just because they're confirming my priors. Maybe I'm wrong. But that game last night is why I look at a team like the 49ers going into this week. And I go, hey, that week two was ugly. You can chalk it up to the short week. You can chalk it up to the lack of preseason reps, whatever. But now you got to get going.
Yeah.
That's only an excuse for so long. Because at some point, if you start stacking losses, you don't get to go, well, hey, those don't count. Like, they do.
Uh-huh.
They all count. Which is why you got to go get this one. I think you're going to see teams start ratcheting it up this week. And I think that's what we saw last night. Do the Patriots have to play Drake May moving forward now?
Nope. Do not. Nope. Emergency QB, that guy. All right. Emergency QB, him. Don't even let him be the backup. No, it's not even because of Drake May. Save that man's life.
The Patriots offensive line is so bad.
I felt so bad for him.
They have no shot. Their quarterback.
Yeah. Like, Jacoby, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to take these hits from the defensive line, and that's just it at this point. Like, sorry, you're the sacrifice.
This is exactly what I was talking about with Caleb Williams yesterday. Mm-hmm. You can't just go, okay, yeah, Drake May, go play now. Go be successful behind that. Because we can sit here and we can talk about, oh, Brock Purdy's down, this player and that player. At least the 49ers have a really capable offense.
Yeah.
The Patriots have none of that.
Mm-mm.
You drop any quarterback into the Pat situation, and you're going to have a mess.
Yeah, Drake May does not need to play at all this year.
No. Not even a little bit.
Uh-uh.
Maybe week 18.
Yeah, week 18 is like, oh,
roll
yeah.
Roll them out there. Give them,
plans
give them a little
playoffs,
taste.
Season's
of,
over.
Give them a taste of what it's like to start and how you prepare during the week, what mm-hmm. it's like on game day. Give them a taste of that. Treat week 18 as a preseason game.
Yes.
Ostensibly.
But other than that, we're protecting Drake May the rest of the season.
You have to.
Yeah.
Anyways. I think that's the move with young quarterbacks. I don't think it's a layup that, like, yeah, if he sits a year, you're automatically going to be good. No, but I think it gives him a better shot.
I'm pro starting the rookie quarterback week one or whatever if you've got a decent offensive line to protect him.
That's where it's got to start.
Uh-huh.
If he's getting to sit back and stand in the pocket and he's throwing to receivers who aren't getting open, okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if he's getting hit every play and he's learning to bail from the pocket and not standing, then you're developing bad habits. Anyways. I think we're going to start seeing teams build differently. Or
it's becoming more of a conversation now.
Yeah, or not prioritize playing their rookie quarterback right away. I think that's going to kind of be the fallout of this year.
I want to agree with you, but it's also like, I think we'll still see number one. Everyone's going to be looking for CJ Stroud now.
Yeah, but if you have Bryce Young getting benched, and if Caleb Williams winds up struggling the entire year, mm-hmm. and Drake May, when he does play, winds up struggling, I think you're going to see teams realize that it's not either not worth it to start him or B, forget everything else. Spend your money on offensive line.
Yeah, you develop the roster a different way.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, that's what I think the fallout of this year is going to be. All right, we got to talk fantasy football. Firas Siddiqui of Upper Hand Fantasy going to join us next, answering all of your fantasy football questions. There's so much going on in the NFL, and my favorite thing about Firas is that it's not like it's a fantasy football segment for sure, but it's just a football segment. That's what we're doing. We're talking NFL with Firas Siddiqui. It's always a ton of fun, so hope you hang out for that. We've got some week three action to get through. We've got mad props, and the 49ers need a new running back. I teased that yesterday. We'll get to that today as well. Plenty to cover in the next couple hours. Jesse Tapia is in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen.
No,
brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. We have an intro without names, and I always forget to hit it.
It's all right, bro.
It's my bad.
We'll get in the next break.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. Firas Siddiqui is here. It's a Fantasy Friday. Firas joins us every Friday at 10:30. That is Firas Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. There is so much great info there. Highly encourage you to go there and, of course, follow them on Instagram at Upper Hand Fantasy. And, of course, listen to them here because we've got them every single Friday. Firas, what's going on, man?
What's up? You guys facing any injury issues going into week three?
Exclusively.
You know what I mean? It's just exclusively.
I'm lobbying for more IR spots.
Seriously.
In various leagues.
You know, in our home league, we only have one, and I'm the commissioner. And I'm like, who decided on only one IR slot? Like, what is this? This is absolutely ridiculous.
You got to change that mid-season. You got to help people out. Go to two IR spots mid-season. usually we have our own questions, and then we'll turn it over to our listener questions, which you can get in at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But there are so many injury things going on that we're going to roll through a bunch of our own questions first. And hopefully answer some of the questions that people already have. So we were talking about this before the segment began. I feel extremely fortunate to have landed Juwan Jennings off of waivers in one of my leagues.
I picked him up this week, too.
Is he worth a start this week? Especially now we've known Christian McCaffrey is going to be out. We found out Monday Deebo Samuel is going to be out. And then we find out yesterday that George Kittle's got a hamstring thing that cropped up. And he may be out. Is Juwan Jennings worth a start this week?
You know, it's tricky. I would say yes, because who are they going to who else are they going to throw the ball to? Now, Ayuk is absolutely going to get a ridiculous amount of targets this week, and the Rams have been so vulnerable to perimeter wide receivers. Jennings has been primarily playing out of the slot. I can see him playing on the outside just a little bit more, maybe, right? You know, we can see some extra opportunity for him. But here's the thing. The Rams have allowed the least amount of fantasy points to slot receivers over the first 2 weeks of the season. Not what you want to hear. But at the end of the day, me personally, I take opportunity that, you know, that weighs itself a lot more than what those individual matchups look like. So, yeah, I think Jennings is, I would say, maybe a flex PPR flex play, I would say, if I had to categorize it in 12-team leagues.
Great.
Sticking with injuries and all that, with two out this week, would you do you think Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle is the better play for my Miami receivers?
You know, Tyreek Hill is just, I mean, both these guys can take any play to the house, right? But I think Tyreek Hill is probably going to be the guy you want to start. When we've seen Skylar Thompson with, you know, as their quarterback, Tyreek Hill has been solid, 15 fantasy points a game. So, you know, if you tell me a receiver is going to give me 15 fantasy points per game, I'll take it all day. The problem is that we just know what Tyreek's ceiling is. So we're not super happy with that. Waddle's is around 10 fantasy points per game without Tua. So, yeah, definitely Tyreek, 100%. I don't have him in my top 10, though, this week, unfortunately. But, you know, he could definitely creep up in there with a good performance.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us for a Fantasy Friday. If you want to get your questions in, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Also, we're going to try this today. We're going to try the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you have a question for Faraz, I think I can get you up on the phone where Faraz can hear you and you can hear
me.
We can do I'm going to try that this week. Not injury related, but wide receiver related still. A bunch of wide receiver questions this week. The Carolina Panthers, we were just talking about how their leading receiver is Adam Thielen with 5 catches for 69 yards. Deontay Johnson's at 5 for 34. Does Andy Dalton's insertion into the starting lineup change your outlook on either of those guys or anybody on the Panthers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Bryce Young was absolutely, you know, it didn't look good, man. It was
dreadful.
Bad. And, you know, I think Deontay Johnson is startable now. I think Adam Thielen, if you're desperate enough, he's startable. Sneaky PPR play. The Raiders, they've given up the 5th most fantasy points to slot receivers over the last 2 weeks. The last time that Andy Dalton was the quarterback, he had one game last year as their quarterback. Adam Thielen had 11 catches for 145 yards and a touchdown. DJ Shark had 4 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. Okay, that's in the same game. He had one opportunity. So that tells you what you need to know.
Wow.
This is he's going to salvage. Now, I'm not saying this is going to become one of the best offenses in the league, but it's going to be an offense that we can actually start a fantasy player from. Whereas if, you know, going into week 2, you stayed away. And now Jonathan Brooks, with him coming back now, you're a little bit more excited that this is going to be an offense that is NFL level, NFL caliber.
Man.
All right, Frost, I'm not going to lie. I'm freaking out a little bit. You're the Jets guy. I need you to help me out with Garrett Wilson. Is he going to be all right? Like, can I trust him still? Do I trade him? What do I do at this point?
I know. It's been rough. I totally understand. You know, here's the thing. Him and Rodgers have had 3 games together. That's it, right? And it's going to take a little bit of time. And you can see, you watched the game yesterday. You know, there were some plays where he was getting open, but they were just not on the same page, right? You know, that play down the right sideline where, you know, he beat his guy, but then he couldn't really – he couldn't make it into the end zone. They couldn't connect in that play. That would have been a touchdown. Well, it wouldn't have been because it was a penalty. But, you know, it's going to come. And 26% target share still last night. He still led them in targets. 29% target share on the year. This is elite target share, right? This is elite usage. And it's going to come. So if I have Garrett Wilson, I'm holding. If I need a wide receiver, I'm trying to buy Garrett Wilson right now. And I hate to say this for people who drafted Garrett Wilson at the 1-2 turn, early second round. You know, they want more, and I totally understand that. And I do think it's coming, though. I think you just have to be a little bit more patient. I know it's not what you want to hear, but it's the truth.
It's all good, Faraz. If you say it, I'll stick with it.
You got to write it out.
Yeah.
Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, joining us now. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website.
Real quick, let me stick with the Jets one more time.
Please.
Their backup, Braylon Allen, seems like they've been getting him involved a little bit more the last couple of weeks. Do you think he's worth a waiver wire pickup?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we saw 2 weeks in a row now. One in more of a, you know, the Jets and Titans, it was a pretty close game last week, right? And Braylon Allen was involved. And then this week, the Jets kind of went up early. They knew that they were going to have to run the ball a lot. They involved Braylon Allen from the get. And I think that was a smart thing to do because, you know, do you really want, like, I know for fantasy touches are everything, volume is everything, but like, you don't really want your top back getting hurt, right? Like, with all the injuries, like, this is like kind of what you want, right? Like, you know, you saw Joe Mixon get like 30 carries or whatever it was in week one, and then now he's not even going to play this week, right? And so, by the way, pick up Cam Akers. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you kind of like it. With Breece Hall, 15 carries, you know, ish, like that's kind of what he's averaging. And then on top of that, he's averaging like six targets in the receiving game. That's what you want, right? So that is good enough for high-end RB1 volume. And then, like you said, Braylon Allen, solid waiver wire pickup. He's not like a, you know, he's somebody that you can plug in if you're relatively desperate, but he's looking pretty good behind Breece Hall.
For us, Adiki, Upper Hand Fantasy, the Upper Hand Fantasy podcast, you can get it wherever you get your podcast, and of course, upperhandfantasy.com is the website. You just talked a little bit about the Texans' backfield. No Joe Mixon this week. You said to pick up Cam Akers. I want to take a look at another AFC contender and talk about the Chiefs real quick. What the hell are you doing with their backfield?
Oh, I don't know.
Perfect.
I have no idea.
Jesse, over to you.
No,
I got Kareem Hunt stashed on my bench.
Yeah, it's like, listen, you have a piece on your bench, and then like you just root for that player, right? That's really what it comes down to. Now, listen, my gut tells me that Samaje Perine is going to be the guy at some point. But is there going to be like a guy, right? I don't think so. I think this week is possible that Carson Steele ends up being the early down back. He ends up being the goal line guy if they end up going there. But Samaje, he's had some opportunities in his career where he had to like take on a little bit of work, and he's performed when he's been called upon. Mm-hmm. And he's the receiving back, right? Because they had Isaiah Pacheco, that's kind of why they were, I feel like that's why they were okay running the ball as much as they did when they have Patrick Mahomes. Now, like, do we really think that they're going to rely on like Carson Steele to run the ball, Kareem Hunt to run the ball? You know what I mean? This is going to be a more pass first offense, I think, moving forward. Not that it already wasn't, but I think they're just going to lean more in that direction. And that's why I kind of lean towards Samaje Perine, because he's the guy who's going to be running the most routes. The way I want to kind of the comparison here would be Jerick McKinnon. Remember a couple years ago, Jerick McKinnon, and you know, 49ers fans, they know what I'm talking about here with McKinnon. He's a passing down back, and he was like the guy like in fantasy that you wanted in the home stretch, right, for KC a couple years ago. Now Samaje Perine, in terms of the receiving game, very very efficient last year, so we could see some similar usage when it comes to Samaje Perine. That's kind of what I'm thinking. But who knows?
The Saints have been turning it up the first couple of weeks and all that. Who do you think plays sustainable, and who do you think might take a little bit of a dip? Like Rashid Shaheed, he doesn't get like the most targets or whatever, but he's been tearing it up. Kamara seems like he has a resurgence. And Derek Carr is always hit or miss over the years, I feel. So like, who do you think is sustainable there?
You know what, man? I think it's all sustainable. I'm not gonna lie. The way that this OC has come in and changed everything up there, they're running almost, you know, the high, like top level, you know, motion, pre-snap motion, right? They're doing a ton of play action. Like, this is exactly what you want to see. And Derek Carr is looking super comfortable in this scheme. Chris Olave, 40% target share last week. He comes down, you know, with that nice catch on the right sideline in the corner, right next to the pylon. He doesn't get in. He's at the 1 yard line. He could have scored in that play. We would have been thinking completely different with him. So I'm buying him low wherever I can, because Philly has been terrible against wide receivers. And for fantasy, they've been giving up a ton of fantasy points, right? So you want to buy him before Sunday. I think they play on Sunday. Because I know there's two games on Monday, and now I'm just totally confused. So because now instead of one game on Monday, it's two games. So now I have no idea when anybody plays.
The Chiefs are Sunday night. Sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, there you go. 25% target share for Rashid Shaheed through two games. I know he looks like a big play merchant right now, but they're using him differently. They're using him on crossing routes. They're using him not just as a deep threat. Obviously, you know, that's a big part of his game, and he's becoming one of the best deep threats in the league. But I think they're using him, you know, very differently. So I think both him and Olave in this, you know, Kubiak scheme, I think they can both eat here. So I'm not selling either of these guys. I'm buying. And because of this new scheme in New Orleans, like, I'm very excited, to be honest.
Let's get to some listener questions here. We got a ton of them stacked up, and that makes sense with all the injury stuff going on around the league this year. Johnny G asks, in his flex spot, Quentin Johnston, DeMarcus Robinson, or Xavier Worthy?
Oh man, this is rough. I want to lean Xavier Worthy here because of one of the, you know, some of the reasons I mentioned earlier. Here's the thing. Xavier Worthy straight up boom bust, right?
Yeah.
But DeMarcus Robinson, I would say, like, if you just want some points, I think DeMarcus Robinson is probably the move. But, like, well, he might get you, like, 6-7 points, 8 points, whatever it is. Xavier Worthy is probably the play for me, you know? Travis Kelce hasn't shown much. You know, this might be a little bit of a competitive game, according to Vegas, you know, with Atlanta. So, Xavier Worthy, man, he's not getting a whole lot of opportunity right now. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as they kind of, have him get used to the game and have him, you know, move into more opportune situations against these defenses, I think Xavier Worthy will start to pop off. I don't love Quentin Johnson's matchup this week, specifically on the left perimeter this week. So I don't love him. If I'm going to start any Chargers wide receivers, probably McConkey out of the slot. So yeah, I think I'm leaning Worthy here. It's close though.
Let me get boss Matt Charles in his question so we don't get fired. He wants to know, does he go Samaje Perine or Tyler Lockett this week for his flex?
Ooh, that's close, man. I'm probably leaning Lockett, to be honest. I just don't know what to expect from Perine. I know Lockett was like kind of shut out of that target, you know, distribution last week, but he was pretty good in week one. So he's not, it's not that he hasn't retired just yet. So I'm leaning Lockett because I know what his role is.
Got a trade question in a dynasty, league. Would you trade Jalen Waddle for Drake London?
Ooh, I like this one. I would say no. I have Jalen Waddle higher in my dynasty rankings than Drake London. So, stick with Waddle, man. Like, you know, he's in a great scheme. He's a great player. Right now, both of these guys don't have the best situations.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Waddle's gonna have a much better situation, you know, when Tua is back. So, I'm gonna stick with Waddle here.
We got PW916 in the chat. Brian Thomas or Michael Pittman? And I got one more for you after that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going Brian Thomas. Michael Pittman didn't practice today for some reason. He's nursing some injuries. So keep an eye out on that. But Brian Thomas Jr. is probably my play here, even though the Bills do play a lot of, you know, cover two and, you know, two high looks and all that, the conversation that we've had all week long. But Brian Thomas Jr. is probably my play.
And then we got Sword in the chat. Is it just time to give up on Christian Kirk at this point?
I guess. Honestly, like the fact that Evan Engram was out last week and they still couldn't get Christian Kirk the ball is absolutely crazy to me, man. He's sitting on my bench. I don't think I could drop him just yet after just 2 weeks, but I don't think I can start him right now.
I dropped him. Yeah. Get him out of my face.
I've heard you're not the biggest Christian Kirk
I'm
guy.
I'm out on Christian Kirk. Have been for a while. That's not exclusive to this year. It's not because he auto-drafted when I was trying to pick up Jaden Reed. That's fine.
Oh, no.
Look, just tough look for your boy. Loki
Trickster. I think about the plus-minus on that one.
Yeah, it's not going to be. I don't want to, actually.
Christian Kirk and Jaden Reed.
It's going to drive me to drink. It's fine. Loki Trickster needs to replace Debo in his starting lineup. Does he go T. Higgins, who's back in practice, or does he go with DeMarcus Robinson?
Listen. T. Higgins is going up against the Commanders. You got to start him. Even if he runs one route in that game, start him. It's going to be a touchdown.
Might be a long touchdown.
You know.
There it is. T. Higgins. You got it.
Yeah, T. Higgins.
Yeah, Cowboys haven't looked good. I think this one's an easy one. But do you go Dak Prescott or Derek Carr this week?
You know, I actually had Derek Carr higher in my rankings. And I moved. I have Carr higher in my rankings. I moved Dak above him this morning. And it's because I looked more into the matchup. You know, the Ravens have allowed the most passing yards of any team in the NFL through 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And that's their calling card. That's Dallas's calling card. So this is going to be a high scoring game. I think the Ravens run the ball on Dallas and then Dallas throws it against the Ravens. I think I'm leaning Dak here just by a hair.
For us, Siddiqui Upper Hand Fantasy joining us now. It's a Odyssey podcast. Get it wherever you get your pods. Back to Soren. Are you going to sell high on Tony Pollard?
I am. Actually, I am going to sell high. And the reason for that is because Tajay Spears, you know, you kind of look at the fantasy points in the game log, and it's looking pretty good for Pollard, right? Week one, Pollard got, you know, legit volume. Week two, mm-hmm. he got legit volume. But week two, they were kind of putting Tajay Spears into the rotation a little bit to start. And it was a pretty much an even split, you know, in the first quarter. But then Spears hurt. And then when you're looking at the box score, it looks like Tony Pollard got all the work again. But Spears is back in practice now. So if you can get like a Brian Robinson or another RB2 who's more sustainable moving forward, I would definitely, you know, consider trading Pollard for sure.
Right on.
Jameson Williams or DJ Moore this week?
Jameson Williams. Give me the guy who's on a good offense and a functioning offense. The Lions have the highest projected total, the highest implied total for the week. So I'm going Jameson.
Super flex option, Malik Willis or Will Levis. Hell yeah.
Good luck, Adam.
I love it. I'm going Levis here. You think of like a poor man's Jameis Winston, right? Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going with. I think Ridley has a decent matchup this week. So I'm going Levis, man. You just live and die with the mistakes.
Yikes.
All right, are we going Juwan Jennings, Jalen Warren, or DeMarcus Robinson in a flex spot?
I think I'm leaning Juwan Jennings here by a hair. Yeah. He's probably going to get the most opportunity out of any of these guys.
Great.
Listen, you know, I like DeMarcus Robinson this week, but Jordy Whittington is my little sleeper of the week. You know, Jordy Whittington, slot receiver for the Rams going into this week.
He's he is 1,000% going to have like 9 catches for 150 yards. That's a thing that's going
I'm
to
feeling
happen.
It, man. I'm feeling it.
I'm already annoyed by it. West Sac Kings fan needs some sleeper options at tight end. Looks like he's streaming tight ends. And
I don't have any. Like, who do you think I am? Like, there's no tight end sleepers. Like, you can't even get the top tight ends to perform, let alone like the bottom of the list. Oh, I know. Tyler Conklin. Oh wait, he played last night, so I guess you can't play him. Listen, man, if you're looking on waivers right now on a Friday before the weekend to play, geez Louise, man.
That's on you. Kobe, it's Parkinson, a you problem. Maybe.
Brenton Strange, right? He got some opportunity, you know, with Evan Ingram out, and he's looking like he's going to be out again this week. Let's see. That's about it, man. I can't help you, man. I really can't. Maybe Tucker Kraft potentially, but that's really it, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Brenton Strange, Penn State legend, I think.
Zero.
That's good knowledge right there. I didn't even know that. Yeah. You could be making that up. For flex spot right here, you're going to go Terry McLaurin, Jerome Ford, or Ladd McConkey?
Oof.
I think I'm going to go Terry. I'm going to go Terry by a hair. It stinks all the way around, though.
We've got a bunch of these. I want to try and rapid fire through some of these as we talk with Ferocity, okay. The Upper Hand Fantasy at upperhandfantasy.com. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods. Goff or Caleb Williams?
Goff.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield or Anthony Richardson? Zabo's picking Baker regardless, so never mind.
Anthony Richardson.
Kenneth Walker, Amari Cooper, or Juwan Jennings?
It does not look like Walker's going to play, so I'm going to Amari Cooper.
All right, very good. And then let's do Mike Evans or Chris Olave.
I'm actually going Olave this week. Tough matchup against Sertan.
Got a lot of got a bunch of wide receiver questions. Sorry, Jesse. Jameson Williams or DJ Moore?
Jameson Williams.
All right, very good. Rashid Shaheed or Drake London?
Believe it or not, I'm going Rashid Shaheed.
Terry McLaurin or DeMarcus I'm assuming that's DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah. Let's assume
Brian
that.
Robinson?
I'm going to go McLaurin. I'm going to go McLaurin. If it's Brian Robinson, go Brian Robinson. Otherwise, McLaurin.
If it's any other Robinson, it's going to be McLaurin. And then a full flex spot in a full PPR league, you going Zay Flowers or Tony Pollard?
I'll go Zay. Zay Flowers.
Hell yeah. Love that. Jets look good last night, man.
I'm so, so happy.
I feel like that's how they were supposed to look.
In week one?
Yeah, well, yeah, this season.
This season, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the defense, here's the thing. And Rodgers said it, right? He's, like, we figured out what he said when Robert Saleh was trying to give him a hug, right? Mm-hmm. He said that, two-score lead, right? And that's the formula, right? Like, be able to score enough points on offense and then have this defense close it out. And that's what we're hoping for, man, the rest of the season. Fingers crossed. It's looking okay right now.
What do you think their ceiling is this season?
Super Bowl win.
Wow.
I think so.
Wow. Hey, this is a selfish one. Calvin Ridley or Juwan Jennings?
Calvin Ridley.
All right. I benched him last week because I was sick of him. And then he blows up for a couple of touchdowns.
Wait, who were you sick of? Who were you sick of before? Christian Kirk?
Christian Kirk.
All right, I got to get him in my lineup.
Oh, wow. I might have to start him this week too. Faraz, really appreciate the time. As always, we'll talk to you next Friday. Upperhandfantasy.com. That's the website, Upperhand Fantasy on Instagram. And of course, subscribe to the pod wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can listen to them here every Friday at 10:30.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate you. Have a good weekend. Thanks for us. We'll see you. Good for Faraz, man.
Shout out Faraz. I'm legit freaking out about Garrett Wilson, though.
Why?
Because I have him, and it's just like yesterday. Like, all right, he'll tear it up. It's week three. It was the whole season starts today. He'll tear it up. Yeah. Like, he got his touchdown. It's kind of like, all right, we barely got by there.
Christian Gonzalez is a really good player.
That's true. I was kind of telling myself that, too.
Yeah, I'm still in on Garrett Wilson. Yeah. I think he's just a really, really good player. And like, I'm out on Christian Kirk because I don't think Christian Kirk is that good.
Christian Kirk... He hit his peak already as a wide receiver.
Yeah, that's it. I think if he gets better, his ceiling is not super high. If Garrett Wilson, if I punt on Christian Kirk and he winds up being the best version of Christian Kirk, uh-huh. I'm gonna go, well, what are you gonna do? You know,
the best version of Christian Kirk, like in the NFL, is a wide receiver too.
Yeah,
the best.
Right.
Fantasy football. Yeah, he's gonna 10 points a game.
Catch 4 or 5 touchdowns. It might have a 100-yard game in there, depending, but nothing like crazy. Nothing that's irreplaceable.
Yeah.
If you punt on Garrett Wilson, you might be punting on a guy who's a top 10 wide receiver.
That's the thing. I've been close to trades and all that, but I'm like, I'm just gonna give it another week.
I would keep giving it. I would keep giving it another week. I think week 5. If he's not figured it out by week 5.
Can I say something, too, that Faraz said early on in that interview or that conversation that kind of made me nervous?
Yes.
Faraz thinks the Panthers are going to do a lot better, I think, offensively than maybe we thought.
Yeah, I think... Okay, so here's... I heard that, too. I think that's just kind of long-term, though.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think that he thinks Andy Dalton's going to throw for 300 yards.
Well, let's talk through it real quick.
Please.
Deontay Johnson is not, I don't know if he's a number one wide receiver in the NFL, but he's good. He's
a quality number two.
Yeah, Adam Thielen is good and all that. Like, we're not saying we're expecting a letdown for the Raiders, but should we expect more from the Panthers a little bit in this one?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like I said earlier, Andy Dalton's floor is higher than Bryce Young's ceiling. Uh-huh. Andy Dalton's gotten hosed by his stint with the Bengals where they couldn't get past the first round.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton's not a bad player. Andy Dalton's been a solid NFL quarterback for it. He's a backup.
He's in the hall of pretty all right quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's fine. Uh-huh. He's replacement level to me. But he's way better than Bryce Young. So, yeah, I think the floor of the Panthers offense gets raised substantially, and I think they're going to be way harder to defend. But at the same time, I think the Raiders defense is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk myself through right now. Like, Raiders defense is legit.
I feel good about their defense. So, yeah, the Panthers are going to score more points than they would have with Bryce Young. But I don't think it's going to be – it's not like they're adding Patrick Mahomes where you're going, oh, my God, I don't know how they're going to stop this guy. It's Andy Dalton. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but come on.
Shout out Andy Dalton.
Yeah, man, he's
successful
had a
NFL career.
Really excellent career. So many guys would kill to have Andy Dalton's career.
Yeah.
And he's better than Bryce Young.
I low-key can't Panthers believe he's still in the league.
Really?
He feels like a guy that should have been out of the league. He's Andy Dalton's old.
He's not that old.
He's got to be
36.
See, that's pretty old, especially like we remember him at TCU and all that.
How old's Andy? 36 years old. Oh, he's about to turn 37. Holy cripes. That's not that surprising, though. Backup quarterback, Mark Brunell was around forever. Vinny Testaverde was around forever.
That's true.
You can have a long-ass career if you just accept yourself as a backup.
Where does Andy Dalton fall amongst the lines of the Vinny Testaverdes? Is it the Michael Jordan of Vinny Testaverdes?
Nah, I got to think about this. We got to go to break. All right. I'm going to think about that, though. That's going to be a fun one.
That's solid. Happy
Friday. What was the one you had yesterday?
Oh, I forgot, but I feel like it was a good one.
I didn't think it was good. I disagree.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't shut it down before. You don't even remember it. You don't even know.
I remember disagreeing with
you. Oh, you don't even know. Go to break.
All right. We're going to do that. We're going to go to break. Caller, I see you on the line. We will get to you coming up after the break. When we come back, we'll dive into week 3 of the NFL, and the 49ers need a new running back. I'll explain next. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse in for James Hamm. James Hamm on assignment. He will be back on Monday. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. Salute to Jiffy Lube. Caller, I see you on the line, the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. If you would like to join the program... Thank you, everybody, listening on the radio, on YouTube.com/ESPN1320, Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Salute.
Shout out.
You said you want to talk about life. What do you want to say?
Oh, I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Just whatever, bro.
I asked you that.
I don't know. It's Friday.
A whole hour to fill.
Happy. I'm excited. It's football again.
Vibes are up.
Football's back.
Before I dive in,
they're throwing in like just old cool Dolphins moments in the chat. Like Wizzle Max says, Ronnie Brown in that Wildcat game against the Pats. I remember that game.
That was great, man.
I'll never forget it.
I love this.
Steven Castaneda. Ricky Williams is underrated as a Dolphin. My favorite
underrated
player
as a running
time.
Back too.
Yeah, would have been a Hall of Famer if he didn't retire the first time.
All right.
Shout out Ricky Williams if you're listening. Come join the show.
Before I get into this Niners running back thing, let's take Don's call. Don, you're on the Insiders with Jesse and Kyle. What's up?
What up, guys? Hey, I just had a question real quick. I know I heard Jesse say he was a fan of just kind of throwing the rookie quarterback out there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of lean the other way, but I think you got to choose one way or the other and stick with it. But the whole Bryce Young thing, I just heard the guys, they were interviewing him by the locker, and he took accountability and sounded really professional and stuff. But do you guys remember a time ever when a young quarterback's been yanked and benched and then comes back the following year and just lights it up? Or is it kind of like one of those things where when this happens, it's really, really tough to come back from?
Thanks for the call, Don. Appreciate you. I'm sure there are examples.
I don't think Baker Mayfield fits because Baker was good and his shoulder just kind of blew up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I chalked that one up more to injuries, and they didn't even like just really bench him. It just didn't work out in the end. Josh Rosen got benched really fast, and that he just stunk.
This doesn't exactly fit with what the caller was talking about, but Alex Smith was really not good for his first 5 years. He also had a year where he was hurt in there and missed the entire season. But remember in 2010 when Mike Singletary was a head coach, it was like an Alex Smith, Troy Smith rotation, and they couldn't land on which quarterback they wanted. And then in 2011, during that offseason, it was the lockout, so the Niners re-signed Alex Smith, and he came in with Jim Harbaugh and lit it up.
Yeah.
That's the closest that comes to the top of my head.
As far as being benched this fast, though, like I don't think anyone's like come off the top of my head. I don't think anyone's come back from that. Trey Lance was. What happened to Trey Lance? Trey Lance got hurt, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't get benched. Yeah, man. The reason I think that's so hard to come back from is because you're benching a young quarterback who probably just needs time to play and develop. But he's probably being benched on a bad team. And you're then bringing him back in. And I don't think teams, this is what we were talking about earlier, I just don't think teams prioritize the right things.
That's fair.
I don't think teams, like Brock Purdy, got put into a perfect spot where that was a ready-made team. He got to be a quarterback. If you take Brock Purdy and drop him onto, if you take seventh-round pick Brock Purdy and drop him onto this year's Panthers as a rookie, he got no shot.
Yeah.
And that's not a Brock Purdy issue. It's a team sport. You need, at some point, there needs to be some semblance of talent. I think if you're a team that is taking a quarterback high in the draft, I mean, you weren't very good. And I think if you're starting that quarterback right away, I think there's some level of desperation. And I think that if you are then benching that quarterback, I don't think you're probably a good enough organization to do the things you need to do to allow that quarterback to succeed in the following year.
That's a fair point. My thing with Bryce Young, too, is that I think there's a lot of, like, it's the Panthers' fault, but also, like, have you ever watched a Bryce Young playing, but like, yeah, he's got something there.
No, Bryce Young has no juice.
Yeah. Caleb Williams, like people say, oh, you like Caleb Williams is going through it and all that. But like Caleb Williams, you watch, like, okay, there's something there. You can see it. You can see it, like, okay, if he developed, like, you see it. There's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I've never watched Bryce Young once and been like, all right, it's just kind of like he's fighting for his life, but also he just doesn't, there's nothing.
I say we. People who do draft stuff, too many people way overlooked his physical limitations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his arm talent was not good. He's
not big. Yeah, he's not even as big as Tua. He is a small.
Like, that's a problem at some point.
Mm-hmm.
There are quarterbacks who can overcome it, and he's smaller than Drew Brees, man. Like, that's an issue at some point. Like, you gotta see over the line.
Yeah.
You gotta see what's happening. You got to take hits. You got to be confident standing in the pocket. Like there are just so many things I think that his physical limitations don't allow him to do that I think are just too big of a problem. That's kind of where I landed Bryce Young.
Yeah. I think
But you're right. There's never what's the signature Bryce Young game? Where you went, oh, that guy, there it is.
He's only got two wins, I think.
Yeah, he's not it. Mm-hmm. He's not it. I don't think he's getting benched with the idea that he'll come back next year and be good.
Like, if Bryce Young was gonna work out, it just wasn't. Now we know it was never gonna be with the Panthers. And we don't even know if he was ever gonna be good, but it was never gonna work here.
Yeah, like when Zach Wilson got benched by the Jets, you went, oh, okay, that relationship's over now. Uh-huh. The Bears, for example. The Bears are in a spot. I think the Bears are doing a lot of the right things as an organization. And I talked about yesterday how I would be in favor of them saying, all right, you know what, Caleb? This team's not ready yet. You're going to sit on the bench. You're going to hang out as the backup. Let Tyson Bagent take some hits. You can get some really good mental reps. You can immerse yourself in the offense. We'll prioritize the offensive line next season. And you can step in with a better offensive line and better comfort of the offense so you can better run the offense next year. I would be in favor of that. Whether it would work, don't know. I think the reason it doesn't work is because usually teams that are doing that are scrambling and being desperate and are not going to do the things they need to do to put that quarterback in a situation to succeed.
Yeah. I feel like if you were to throw just a competent offensive line in front of a rookie quarterback, that'll just probably do about 80% of the work for him already. Just allow him to sit back, like process the defense and all that, and just kind of actually develop. You can't develop, I mean, I'm sure you can or whatever, but as well as you would be able to with the way Caleb Williams is.
No.
Like, I don't think there was a time, I'd have to look back at the stats, but I can't remember off the top of my head, like CJ Stroud running for his life all season last year.
No. I don't think he was.
Yeah, and it's not like they had these incredible, like Nico Collins and Tank Dell turned into these receivers and all that, but like going into it was like, oh yeah, they got him all the weapons and he's just ready to go. It's kind of like, no, you let him play quarterback and develop, and it's other guys developed as well.
Yeah.
That's the Texans did it right, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you're trying to find the next CJ Stroud, you got to build the talent around him for sure. Yeah. People are bringing up Kyler Murray as like short quarterbacks, and he and Bryce Young are listed at about the same size.
Uh-huh.
Bryce Young does not have nearly the arm talent that Kyler Murray has.
He's just not as athletic either.
And he's not nearly as athletic. Those are the two ways you can overcome that, is just by having the pure arm strength and the movement skills, and Bryce Young has none of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. All right, the 49ers need a new running back.
Already out on Jordan Mason, huh?
No. Jordan Mason is on pace for 408 carries this year. That would be the third most in NFL history. Eric Branch from the San Francisco Chronicle had that little nugget.
Do we know who the top two are?
No. I mean, we could find it, but I don't have it in front of you right now. They have to do something, whether it's Isaac Arendo, Patrick Taylor, who are the other two running backs on their roster. Keyshawn Vaughn is their practice squad running back. They have to find somebody, anybody, to take some of this workload off of Jordan Mason. Because as George Kittle goes out and Deebo Samuel goes out and as Christian McCaffrey is out, they're not going to run it less. You're going to see Jordan Mason and the Niners go 20, 25, 30 carries a game. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. That's Kyle Shanahan and what he wants to do. But there has to be somebody taking some of that workload off Jordan Mason, because this averaging 24 carries a game, 28 in week one, 20 in week two, averaging that for however long he's going to play is just not sustainable. You can't do that.
You don't think he could do it for the next 5 weeks and then CMC's back?
No. I don't. Could he? Yeah. Yes, he could.
Because honestly, I think that's probably what the plan's
going
to be.
I would imagine. They're going, okay, hey, we're going to give this guy a season's worth of carries in 7 weeks. Because we're only going to need him for a handful after that. But if that's the case, there's no way you can be that confident that Christian McCaffrey, who's dealing with Achilles tendonitis and has since week 17 of last year, he had a full offseason to get this thing better, and it's not. And it has actually apparently gotten worse.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like it's gone the other way at this point.
Right. So if they're banking on, oh yeah, he's going to come back in 5 weeks, and then we're just Jordan Mason's going to be, that's insane. That anything to me, in my estimation, this is just totally my non-professional, non-expert opinion, anything they get from Christian McCaffrey is gravy this year.
So then what do you do if you're the 49ers at this point? You just go with the backups, get them some run, or?
You have to. You have to do something. And if you don't trust Isaac Garendo, or you don't trust Patrick Taylor, what are they on the roster for? What? If you're not okay playing them in football games that count,
I wonder how
what
much
are they
this,
doing?
Well, I wonder how much of the CMC stuff cut them off guard. Maybe they just weren't planning for this situation or whatnot.
If you're,
that's kind of not,
I guess, but you have known now since the second week of camp that your All-Pro Offensive Player of the Year running back that you're going to lean on a ton has Achilles tendonitis. You didn't think to add somebody that you feel better about?
Like I said, maybe he just feels they can get by with Mace until CMC's back, till Christian McCaffrey's back.
I think
that's the plan too. I think that's just like I see where you're coming from, but I don't think Shanahan's as stressed about it. I guess
I don't think you're wrong, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the issue.
Yeah, I just don't think maybe Shanahan sees it as a problem.
Right, that's my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my Kyle Madsen's problem with how Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are approaching this. It's got to be against the Rams. It's got to be Isaac Arendo or Pat. You've got to do something. Make it 5 carries. Make it 8. Whatever it's got
to
be.
Well, you're going to have to because I feel like Debo's been kind of getting some carries too and all that, right?
He got 8 in week 1 and then two. Okay. I think they were caught off guard by McCaffrey being out week 1.
You might just, at this point, you have no choice. You're going to have to get someone else involved.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I
got that's
you.
What I'm, even if it's, even if you think, oh, we just need to get him through 7 weeks. Okay, that's fine. Well, going 24 carries a game, I don't think he's going to get you there.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's diminishing returns at some point. So I think Jordan Mason has to stay involved, obviously. He's their best running back.
Yeah.
I think they got to get him involved in the passing game a little bit. I think I'm expecting that this week. I'm expecting Jordan Mason to get, whether it's a designed screen or he's splitting out and running a couple of routes, I expect Jordan Mason to get a couple of targets this week just because they have to include that element in their offense. If your running back is not a threat as a pass catcher, it makes you so much easier to defend.
Yep.
So I think they're going to force Jordan Mason to get involved in that way. But they have to give carries to somebody else. They have to get... I don't care if Isaac Arendo is averaging 2 yards a carry. You've got to do something to take the workload off Jordan Mason because if he goes out, now you're really screwed. Now you're at a point where I'm not even going, yeah, hey, Brock Purdy's got to do this. Because now you're down to a 4th-round rookie and a career special teams / sometimes 3rd-down back. Then you have a massive problem.
Yeah.
So it's like short-term loss over those couple 5 to 8 carries. You might have to game plan around. Maybe you're not going to get exactly what you want out of those attempts. But you'll take that over potentially needing to replace Jordan Mason in 4 weeks. And beyond, because, oh, Christian McCaffrey isn't coming back when they thought he would, and now they're down Jordan. They're going to run into a much bigger problem.
We're going to learn a lot about the 49ers on Sunday, just as far as how Shanahan adjusts with all these injuries and all that. Brock mm-hmm. Purdy, like you're talking about the running backs. It's going to be interesting to see. I at this point, you can't... I want to say you can't just give it to Mason, because like I said, we're talking through it now, all the guys that are missing, but... I wouldn't put past Shanahan just to stick with what I've got and like this is it. We're just kind of moving forward.
To your point, that's exactly what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
What should happen is one of their 2 backup running backs need to get some carries. Design a toss. Do something that makes it really easy for them. That's what they should do. I think you're right in what they will do.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if Isaac Arendo or Patrick Taylor gets more than 2 touches.
Do we go, okay, I was going to say, over or under 5 carries for the backup running backs?
Under.
Under?
Way under.
That's tough.
I know. That's something I think needs to change.
We got Larry Johnson, too. Most carries all time in a season.
Oh, that's right.
416, Jamal Anderson, 2nd at 410.
Jamal Anderson, yeah. A dirty bird. Matt Barrows of The Athletic suggested a couple of trades between the 49ers and Dolphins.
Okay, let's hear him.
One of them was, they both involved the 49ers backup quarterbacks. So one of Josh Dobbs or Brandon Allen for Raheem Mostert, or one of those 2 players for Jeff Wilson.
I can do Dobbs for Jeff Wilson. I can't, and at this point, like, it's not happening or whatever, but I can't do Mostert. I'll give you Jeff Wilson, though.
Okay. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah. Shout out Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, somebody they trust. That's why, like, dude, Matt Breida's a free agent. Go get Matt Breida.
Isn't he on the practice squad right now?
Did they re-sign him?
I'm pretty sure he's on the practice squad. 49ers, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a thing that happened? Did I miss that? I
think so.
I might have missed that. I thought Keyshawn Vaughn was their only practice squad guy. running back.
49ers announced. Oh, they released Breida. Excuse me. They released him.
Tough for our guy Matt. He's a free agent though. Go get him. If you try, if okay, maybe he doesn't have the juice yet. You trust him.
Yeah.
You know he knows the offense. Go
well, we're just talking about giving a guy some more, a few carries at this point. Just lightening Jordan Mason's load at this point.
That's it. Pause.
Yeah, I did not get around that. It's flag. Whatever. What do you want me to do? I didn't know what to do.
Jerick McKinnon's a free agent.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon can do some of the stuff Christian McCaffrey can do, right?
Yes.
Right?
We just need you to do six carries. That's it.
I need 5 to 8 touches.
Jordan Mason needs a water break. We just need you to be out here while he gets water.
That's it.
That's all it is.
That's all we need. Anyways, I expect the 49ers to, unless one of Isaac Arendo or Patrick Taylor gets a bunch of touches this week and they feel really good about those players moving forward, I expect them to make some kind of move at running back.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's all. You want to talk about week 3?
Yes.
All right, we got some. Tell the people what you hit me with
like
via
comparison
text
yesterday
or the via text message.
All right, I don't even remember what I texted you. I gotta go.
You're
back
talking about statement games in the NFL this week.
Oh yeah, is Ravens.
And how we're gonna learn a lot about a lot of teams.
What about Ravens Cowboys?
Ravens Cowboys is on the list here. I'm just gonna go game by game.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Giants at Browns. Any statements there?
Statement is, wow, this game really stinks, and I'm going to change the
channel. I can't wait to not watch that game.
Yeah, that's the statement I'll be making.
I am so excited to watch 0 seconds of Giants-Browns.
Daniel Jones really grew a beard, and everyone's like, hey, he might be good this year. Like, Daniel Jones, he's back.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Daniel
Jones. They did the same thing with Matt Eberflus in Chicago.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, he got a haircut. He grew a beard.
Hey, I don't know.
He
I think
he's
ready.
Media training. Watch out. Like, yeah, but he still stinks. Anyways, Bears at Colts.
Colts look... Colts low-key got to make a statement and win here, because if not, your season's over.
I have no feelings about this game.
I have a feeling.
You think the Colts got to win?
They got to win. Anthony Richardson is a young quarterback you're trying to develop and all that. I think you had some sort of expectations this year as far as maybe we can compete for a wild card or just kind of be in the mix. But if you're 0-3, you're cashed.
I need to see Caleb Williams do something. The Bears got to help him out.
Okay, yeah.
I need him to not be pressured on 50% of his dropbacks.
The Bears got to help Caleb more than Caleb needs to help himself at this point.
1,000%. I'm right there with you. Texans at Vikings is a morning game.
This is a statement game in the fact I will give the Vikings and Sam Darnold their respect if they win this one.
That's it. I'm right there.
If you guys win this one, you're legit. I can't say anything after that.
I think the Texans are good. I don't need to learn anything more about the Texans.
I think second-ish best team to me in the AFC.
Yeah, they're a Super Bowl contender in the AFC for sure. I'm with you on the Vikings, man. Like this is a great spot.
I believe
they're at home against another really good team in the other conference. Uh-huh. They just beat the heck out of the 49ers. If you go do that again to Houston, yeah, you're legit.
Even if they kind of are in the mix in this game, just competitive. Like just if they look like a good football team here, like I'll respect that.
I'll do one better on that. Vikings win this game, they're winning the division.
Kyle, you might have said something right there. You might have said something right there.
You heard it here first. Texans-Vikings, that's the game I'm locked into Sunday morning.
Okay.
I'm waking up to make sure that my stuff is done in the morning so I can sit down and watch that game.
That's a good one.
Eagles at
Texans,
Saints.
Texans-Vikings on ESPN 1320, by the way, I believe, right?
That's...
I'm almost positive it is. You can quote me on that.
Okay. Texans-Vikings, coverage begins at 9.
Yeah, I'll go on the ledge on that one. That's on 1320.
Okay. I don't have this week's looky. I have last week's. 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., Texans-Vikings.
Be here.
Can't wait. So I'm going to be listening to that on ESPN 1320 while I don't watch Giants-Browns. Eagles at Saints.
Statement. This is definitely a statement game.
This statement for the Eagles.
Yes. Hey, Nick Sirianni might get fired by their bye. I think they got two more games at them coming up till their bye. It's the... Saints and
the Saints are going to hang 35 plus on these dudes.
Yeah.
I do not trust Philly's defense as far as I can throw them.
And I don't know.
Isn't far.
And I don't know how much I trust Jalen Hurts at this point. I tried to be a Jalen Hurts guy. I was trying to be like, no, he'll figure it out. He's looked good, but he's also just kind of, I don't know. He's less of the potential MVP that one year and more of a, he's closer to like just around top 10, less than the top 5, I think.
Yeah, I think his MVP candidate days are probably behind him.
Uh-huh. I just don't feel like a good mix.
No, there was a whole article in ESPN about that. I'm right there with you. They have not done a good job replacing Shane Steichen. Their offensive coordinator the year they went to the Super Bowl. He's now the head coach for the Colts. The Saints, whatever happens in this game.
How much are you buying Derek Carr? Derek Carr is very good, but
buying,
also...
Buying
just,
him how?
Like, just as far as, like, he can sustain this. I'm not talking about he's going to tear it up 300 yards, four touchdowns, or any of that stuff. Just more so...
Yeah, I think...
We've seen Derek
offense,
Carr just fluctuate. Just, oh, he's really good, or just, Derek, what the hell was that?
No, I think he's in the best offense he's probably ever been in.
Okay.
So I feel okay about it. Yeah, we're gonna learn more about the Eagles and the Saints this week.
Yeah,
I think. Chargers at Steelers.
This one's weird because it's like
this feels like it should be a snow game.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's gonna be very old school football.
It's gonna be first one to 17 wins.
I'll go first one to 20.
20.
Yeah, Chargers at Steelers. That'll be a fun game.
Are the Chargers good if they win this
fans.
One?
You
beat the Raiders in a game where the Raiders just
yeah,
the
Raiders laid an egg. They beat the heck out of the Panthers.
You don't get credit for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if you go to Pittsburgh, if they dominate, if they control this game, I don't want to say dominate, but if they control the whole game, then yeah.
Okay.
I'll be all the way. I'm mostly in on the Chargers now, just because I think Jim Harbaugh's a heck of a coach. But yeah, if they go in and control this game against the Steelers, because Mike Tomlin also a heck of a coach, I'll be all the way in on the Chargers. Broncos at Bucks.
I have just, yep.
Two thumbs down for me.
Why is this on my television? Who changed the channel?
Two thumbs down. The Bucks are good. I don't think the Broncos are.
Oh, next.
If the Bucks, yeah. If the Bucks go beat the Broncos by like 30, I'll be even more in on them.
Super Bowl contender Bucks?
Maybe. We're not going to learn that this week, but if they go really handle business against the Broncos, I'll feel very, very good about the Bucks.
I think they've graduated from being a good team in the NFC South to being a good team in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you're right. Baker's good, dude. I'm in on Baker Mayfield.
I think I'm in on Baker Mayfield, too.
Yeah, I definitely am. Mike Evans is awesome. Chris Godwin's back. Yeah, Bucks are good.
Shout out to the Bucks. Shout out to Zabo.
I think they're going
to
beat the hell out of the Broncos, by the way.
Shout out Zabo, and I think Witty Cube in the chat is a Bucks fan as well.
Shout out to the Bucks fans.
Might be Wizzle Mac.
Salute. Last morning game, and then we'll get to Mad Props in the next segment, and we'll finish up with the afternoon games before we get to the handoff. Packers at Titans. Malik Willis revenge game.
Yeah.
I think sure. The Titans, here's where I'm at. I think the Titans stink.
Yes. Will I'm Levis done. Stinks. Will Levis is the worst quarterback in the league.
But also, I don't think Malik Willis is very good. So any wins the Packers get while Jordan Love is out is gravy. I'm going to learn nothing from this game. This is another one I'm excited to not watch.
You know what I'm going to learn is that...
Shout out to Matt LaFleur, by the way. When we were talking top five coaches yesterday, Matt LaFleur is there too for me.
You have I've got like eight coaches in the top five. Yeah, you need to reel it in, pal.
Give me Andy Reid.
Okay, there's one.
Kevin O'Connell's got to be there because that's what the whole bit is about.
I'm so tired of that.
Kevin O'Connell's there. Matt LaFleur's there. Those are the two guys I got to put there. I think you got to put Kyle Shanahan there. Is McVay?
Yes.
McVay five?
That's five right there. So you just hate John Harbaugh, huh? Mike Tomlin too?
Can Mike Tomlin win a playoff game?
Get him a quarterback.
That's on him. At some point.
Is it him or his GM?
At some point, if you run into the same problem over and over and over again.
Hey, we've really been like, hey, Mike Tomlin went 8-8 with Duck Hodges. Like, hey, that's pretty sweet. But yeah, in reality, they won't win a damn thing in a while.
That's it. Mike Tomlin's a nice guy. If you're going to be top five, I need you making the playoffs and making runs.
Last time Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl, plasma screen TVs cost over $1,000.
Now we can get a 50-inch TV for $9.
$20 at Costco or something.
Yeah. Get that on Afterpay.
I don't like how we just told the truth about Mike Tomlin.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just let people know.
Yeah.
That's it. Mike Tomlin's awesome.
He is. He's a great
but
coach.
At some point, you got to start winning playoff games for me.
I agree with that.
That's it. All right. That's Jesse Tapia. He's in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm will be back on Monday. Jiffy Lube is still the sponsor. We're still the insiders. The producers, though. Forgot, that's what we call this spinoff of the insiders. Either way, we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we'll be back in a second on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. The handoff, I believe it's a KC day coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get to mad props before we dive into the afternoon games from week three. Can't wait. We'll talk Niners-Rams with Kenny coming up here in a bit. If you're unfamiliar with mad props, what we do is we take two games that are happening. Typically, it'll be a Niners game and a Kings game. But with no basketball right now, we're doing Niners game and Raider game. So I make up a couple of props from each game, and we pick which number will be higher. That's how this goes. I have sent James this week's props, and he has made his picks. Jesse, we're going to have you as an honorary guest picker as well.
I'm excited. What do I get if I get all these right?
Props.
All right, I'll take it.
Our undying respect.
That's what I'm talking about.
You can come
right
back
there
next Friday if you want to come in for this segment. I mean, you're here already. You can just come in and do picks with us.
Sounds good.
If you want.
I want an acknowledgement.
You can do that either way, honestly. You can get them all wrong. Still come back next week.
Yeah, I want an acknowledgement either way. Like, hey, Jess got them all right. Or, hey, Jess, you were the worst of all time doing
this.
Yeah,
you're good. Just a little
applause. There we go.
Aaron.
I'm a winner.
There you go.
There we go.
All right. First mad prop this week. Oh, hang on. We have an intro for this. Right?
Allegedly.
It's time for mad props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's mad props.
Can't wait till Joe's here to push those buttons for me.
Shout out, Joe.
It's going to be great. Love Joe. He did a terrific job yesterday. Not in with us today, but hopefully soon. All right. Mad props. 49ers game in Los Angeles at SoFi Stadium against the Ramsey Raiders at Allegiant Stadium hosting the Carolina Panthers. Our first mad prop. Juwan Jennings receiving yards or Raiders rushing yards, Jesse?
Juwan Jennings receiving yards. I think he's going to have a big day. Frost made a good point. Who else is Brock Purdy going to throw to in this one?
No, that's true.
And I think Juwan Jennings is good enough as a receiver to get open and like kind of just play the role that they need him to in this one.
So I was kind of thinking of leaning toward Raiders rushing yards here because I think I was like, man, they're going to beat the heck out of the Panthers. They're going to have to really run it late in the game and just kind of salt the clock. So I think they're going to rack up a bunch of rushing yards. But then Faraz brought up the thing about Andy Dalton and how much he lit it up with the Panthers in his one game last year. And now I'm a little bit more concerned about it. But I still think the Raiders are going to win this one. I think there's going to be a lot of running late in the game. And I think we talked with Vic Tafer from The Athletic yesterday. He doesn't think it's a talent problem. He thinks it's a scheme thing where players are still getting used to it. We're into week three. We talked about, hey, the regular season starting now. I'm leaning Raiders rushing yards.
I'm going to stick with Juwan Jennings, too, for the sake of... I don't even know if Brandon Ayuk and Brock Purdy on the same page at this point.
That's a good point. James's pick was Juwan Jennings as well. The next one, Jesse. Fred Warner tackles or Brock Bauer targets? James went Fred Warner.
Let me go Brock Bauer's targets. I'm going to go 10 targets for Brock Bauer's. You got to force feed your playmakers. I think the Raiders are going to do that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Brock Bauer's as well. I'm riding with you on this. I think the Niners defensive line is going to have a huge day. Uh-huh. And I don't think Fred Warner is going to have to do as much as he's been doing. I think this Niners defense is one where they're going to look at last game and go, hey, this defense is more than just Fred Warner. Because if Fred Warner hadn't played like he did, the Niners lose that game by a bunch of touchdowns. And I think you're going to see some other players step up who are not Fred Warner. So I'm going with Brock Bauer's targets, partially because I think you're going to see Gardner Minshew start to lean on him even more as the rookie gets more comfortable in the offense. All right, next up, 49ers-Rams total points or Jacoby Myers receiving yards?
This one is hard. This one's difficult. I'm going to go...
They're supposed to be difficult.
Yeah, nah. I'm gonna go Jacoby Myers receiving yards.
Yeah, that's
I don't think the Rams are putting up points in this one.
That's right. That's kind of where I landed too. I think it might be a little bit of a rock fight in SoFi Stadium, mm-hmm. where it's hey, there's a turnover here, there's a botched fourth down there, it's 3-0 after the first quarter. I don't think we're gonna see a ton of points.
I can see the Niners win this one like 24-10. Jacoby Myers having like 55 receiving yards or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. That's yeah, what, and that's Myers. The thing is even if it's 24-20, you need 45 receiving yards from Jacoby Myers. I think we
if the Rams are putting up near 30, we have a problem.
Eric Saubert is likely to be the James, by the way, went 49ers Rams total points. Eric Saubert is expected to be the 49ers starting tight end. He had 2 catches for 26 yards last week. Eric Saubert catches or Max Crosby sacks?
Max Crosby sacks.
Yeah. Man.
I think Max gonna. I think the Raiders defense as a whole is gonna have a big day. I think we could see Max having 2-3 sacks in this one.
Yeah, I think he has a couple of sacks. I think Eric Saubert has 3 or more catches. That's what James is riding with you. He's going Max Crosby sacks. I just think that Brock Purdy is going to really focus on getting the ball out, and I think it's going to be a lot of like Eric Saubert just sitting in the middle of the field and getting 3 or 4 catches that way.
I can see it. I'm going to stick with Max Crosby having a big day, though.
I hope so. You can't change it once you made your pick.
I won't.
I hope not. All right, next up, Brock Purdy pass attempts or Raiders total points?
Brock Purdy pass attempts.
Why?
Because I can see Brock throwing 25 pass attempts or whatever, and the Raiders winning this game with 23, 24 points. I don't think they're going to score 30 or anything like that. I think Jordan Mason's going to get the ball a whole bunch, but I'm going to say Brock Purdy, 25 passing attempts will be enough.
I'm going to go Raiders points. I think the Raiders are going to score a lot against a not very good Carolina team. And if Carolina's going to rack up some points too, I think the Raiders are going to need to score. And I think the Niners are going to try and keep the ball not out of Brock Purdy's hands, but I think they're going to really try and establish things on the ground. And just with how banged up their pass catchers are, I don't expect them to go try and air it out 30 times, especially in a close, low-scoring game.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Raiders points there. What did James go with? James went Brock Purdy pass attempts. Last one here. Jake Moody made field goals or Raiders touchdowns allowed?
Jake Moody made field goals.
You don't think the Raiders are going to give up a bunch of touchdowns to...
Nah, I say if the Raiders give up touchdowns, it'll be 2 at most in this one, I think. I can see Jake Moody kicking 3 field goals because the Niners aren't able to close out drives.
That's what I think. That's it. I think you're going to see a lot of Jake Moody field goals because I think the red zone is where you're going to see the Niners struggle the most.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
That might be one that we hit bang on the number. That might be like a 2-2 or a 3-3-1.
Sounds good.
I've hit 2 exactly on the number in the first 2 weeks.
I'm very excited to come in on Monday and be like, oh yeah, Jess, you got them all right. Wow. Maybe we do like a little parade around the Odyssey building or something.
You think we should do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We get Stacy out there for that?
Yeah, we'll let him know. We'll let her know.
I want the boss out here.
That's mad props. Thanks everybody for playing along. Keep track of your picks and we'll go back over them on Monday. Should be a lot of fun. All right. We were talking about statement games in the NFL, NFL week 3. We'll get to Niners Rams last. We're going to save that for when Kenny's here in the next few minutes. Let's go Panthers Raiders. That's our first afternoon game. We did the morning games a little bit earlier. Panthers Raiders.
We've talked enough about it. It's the statement for the Raiders right here.
That's it.
It's kind of just prove yourselves to us.
See, I don't care that it's Andy Dalton. Maybe they score a couple of touchdowns this week because of that, but the Raiders should still dominate this game.
Yeah.
The Panthers are super not good. And if the Raiders, if this is close or if they lose, then I think you're looking at a year where...
It's just I'm not going to think very highly of the Raiders if they lose this one just because it's like, all right, remember against Carolina? Like, they're just going to have the letdowns at this point. Like,
yeah,
we can just wait for them now.
And you don't feel good now about the win over Baltimore. Now all of a sudden it's like, oh... Maybe that was the flash in the pan. Whereas if you carry over and you dominate this game.
Well, if you lose to the Panthers and say the Cowboys beat the Ravens, then the Baltimore game just looks like, oh, you just beat a bad Baltimore team at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Absolutely. Dolphins at your Miami Dolphins.
This one's
at
a little scary,
Seattle
Kyle.
Seahawks.
I don't know. I'm a little torn right here. I don't know if I'm a dummy because I think they have a chance or whatnot, but I think this is a statement.
What makes you think they have a chance?
You still have Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, Jalen Ramsey. Like you have playmakers everywhere else. Just you're missing your quarterback at this point. I'd pick the Seahawks to win this one, but I think it's a statement for the Seahawks in the sense where it's like, all right, now it seems like you're playing a team a little bit better than what you've seen so far. You kind of like you need to handle business again.
I think this is a Seattle statement game.
You think so?
Yeah. Because of what you just said, the Dolphins are not, without Tua, the Dolphins are not inept.
Uh-huh.
They still have a ton of talent. And maybe Skylar Thompson is not a great quarterback, and maybe because of that, their offense isn't as dangerous. But
you still got to play football if you're Seattle. You still got to keep Tyreek Hill in front of you. You still got to make sure Jalen Waddle doesn't get loose or whatever.
Skylar Thompson almost won a road playoff game against Josh Allen and the Bills.
I'll never forget that playoff game. I always turn it off. Miami scores. Zach Sealer scores a defensive touchdown with about 10 minutes left in the second half, and I turn it off after that.
Smart.
Yeah. It's like, oh, nice.
Good vibes.
Yeah, that was nice.
Don't know how it ends.
Yeah,
tough.
No clue.
Yeah, so I think this is a game where if the Seahawks go out and they play really well and they win this game, then I will buy more into the Seahawks than I am right now, where they beat the Broncos and then they beat the Patriots in OT.
Because if you're Miami, when you win this one or whatever, it's kind of like, all right, you still need to get through the next 3 weeks still or whatever. Like, yeah, you haven't done anything. For Seattle, it means a lot more.
But if you're Miami, you can split. Let's say Tua is going to miss 4 games. Uh-huh. If you can split those 4 games, you're thrilled, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I told you you could have 2-2 right now, would you take it?
Yes, 1,000%. Right now, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know if they get the seasons here at this point. I think they're kind of lost, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because if they're going 1-3 or 0-4, then yeah, it's probably over. But if you can split, you're giving yourself a chance. I think the Dolphins definitely have a chance to win here. But if the Seahawks can at home really take care of business against that team, even with Skylar Thompson under center,
yeah,
I'll have to buy in, yeah, at least a little bit. Right now, I'm not there yet. Lions at Cardinals. This behind Texans Vikings is my favorite game of the
week. This is a statement game for both of them.
Really?
The Lions, I'm not going to overreact too much to them, but you're still, like, we're expecting to be really good in the NFC. Like, you got to, mm-hmm, you at this point, you would have lost to the Bucs and then if maybe the Cardinals or whatever. Like, that's going to, I think I'm going to look at them a little bit funny.
I think the Lions.
Maybe Jared Goff at this point.
Yeah, I got to see how Jared Goff plays. I'm in on the Lions for the most part. I think this is a bigger deal for the Cardinals.
I think if the Cardinals win this one, it's kind of like, all right, they're legit. Like, this is a good football.
Yeah, they hung with the Bills in Buffalo. They beat the hell out of a beat up Rams team. Mm-hmm. If they go beat the Lions at home,
it'll say more about the Cardinals. But I think, like I said, coming out of it, if the Lions do lose, I'm assuming it's probably because of Jared Goff not playing well. So we'll kind of have an eye on them after that.
Yeah, watching that game really, really close. We're going to learn a lot about the NFC in that game. I'm right there with you. You talked about this game a few minutes ago. Ravens at Cowboys.
Is this loser leaves town?
Loser leaves town, I think.
I think so, too.
Because whoever loses this game, it's going to be all the big questions.
I want to believe in the Ravens, but can you really justify a team starting like 0-3? And it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to just turn it around and play well, and it'll be good to go.
No.
It just doesn't work that way usually.
No, not usually.
Yeah.
The Ravens are not the same team as they were last year. The Cowboys aren't the same team as they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're losing this game, if you're the Cowboys and you're losing another game at home,
yeah,
or if you're the Ravens and you're dropping to 0-3, yikes, man.
Yeah, we got loser leaves town, definitely.
Loser leaves town there, for sure. Sunday Night Football, Chiefs at Falcons.
Like, I don't know if it's statement game material.
Here's where I think it is for the Falcons. If the Falcons at home on Sunday Night Football on primetime can knock off the Chiefs, it's like, dang. And the Falcons might have a little something there.
Yeah, I guess.
If the Chiefs lose, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. The Chiefs
call
are
me
just,
in January.
Yeah, let me know what they're doing January 25th or whatever.
That's all I care about with them. So I'm there with you for the Chiefs. But for the Falcons, I think if you go win this game, I think that's an impressive win for the Falcons.
It will be, but it's like, I'm just so bought in on what the Bucs and the Saints are doing at this point. We're just kind of like, yeah, the Falcons are nice, but I just don't know if you'll be better than those two other
teams.
It'd
be so nuts if the AFC South got like 3 playoff teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
After all the talk in the preseason.
This is how we talk about them and all that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's not a real division.
Kenny Caraway in the building. Niners-Rams. This is our final game we got to go over.
Mm.
We're talking statement games. I am of the mind that the 49ers need this game badly.
Absolutely.
You cannot, I don't care about the injury stuff. I don't care. The Rams are even more beat up than you are. Division game on the road. This to me is one the Niners got to have. Because if they're not getting this one, I can't feel good about any of them coming up.
They absolutely, I agree with you, have to get this game, which leads me into like one of my, I don't know if pet peeve is the right word, but if they have to get this game, I don't care how many times they run Jordan Mason.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like if it's that important, which we're all in agreement, which is like goes back to like when Trey Lance got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, you started 0-1. You cannot start 0-2. Well, if Kyle Shanahan believes Trey Lance needs to pass the ball 25 times and run the ball another 15, and that is going to get us to win because we have to win the game, then that's what we do. Yep. We're not worried about, well, you can't run them up the middle. And you can't. No, we have to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I say all that to say, I agree with you. Like in theory, and I don't understand football enough to be like, well, why can't Isaac Arendo carry the ball three times? Like, what's the problem? Like, I don't see the problem with him carrying it three times. But if Kyle Shanahan is like, we ain't messing around, we have to win. Jordan Mason, you're getting every single carry.
Sure.
Then that's what we got to do.
Sure.
I mean, at this point, you don't really have a choice, no?
That's
you just stick with the guys that are here.
That was sort of my thing. Mm. I don't think they have another running back right now that they feel good about giving carries to, even if they wanted to. And that's kind of the issue. Is it's more of a longer term thing than just this Sunday.
Right.
It's like at some point you got to figure out who's going to get touches behind Jordan Mason, because I don't think this is sustainable for however long Christian McCaffrey's out.
Right. Yeah.
That's
but,
the problem.
But in general, like you said, I don't understand what it would hurt if Isaac Randall ran halfback stretch to the
can we get him
two times?
Like, four or five times? Like, just anything.
What's the problem? I don't get it. Although he, and this shouldn't sway you anyway, but didn't he run one time on Sunday and just, it was like minus one?
Yeah, yeah. He ran into the line. He didn't, Kyle Shanahan talked about it a little bit because a bunch of people were immediately like, hey, he's got to be patient here. He's got to do this and that and da 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 da. And Kyle Shanahan kind of broke down all the different things that went wrong on that play.
Yeah.
So I do think at some point we start seeing Isaac Garendo. Because remember, he didn't get like any training camp.
Right.
He played in the preseason finale, and that was his first week of practice leading up to that game, and that was his first game.
Right.
So I think they're kind of treating this, getting him ramped up. I think at some point here we see him getting some
I wouldn't mind seeing some Jacob Cowing, some reverse action or anything like that, like just for a different look or something like that. But they got to win. Like we talk about statements and all this other stuff. This isn't going to say anything for me one way or another about the 49ers. I just know they just have to win. Like, I don't care how it looks. I don't care what Brock looks like. I don't care what the defense looks like, the O-line. If they come out of this winning 13-10, we'll figure it out the following week. This game is that.
You think they can win this game if Brock Purdy and Ayuk still aren't on the same page in this one?
No.
Like, does that have to get figured out this week? Or is there other ways you can go about it?
No,
if
because the Rams...
If four catches for 40 yards, the Niners got a problem.
Yeah, but the Rams are... I can see a world. I don't know if it happens that way. But I can see a world where the Rams just don't have the firepower to make them pay for not being on the same page.
That could happen for sure. That's why the Niners' pass rush is a way bigger deal to me than anything in this game. If you can't get to Matthew Stafford against this version of the Rams... where it's not elite receivers getting open all over the field, and it's not the best version of their offensive line, and you have Javon Hargrave and Malik Collins going up against a rookie center and a third string left guard, like, you got problems, man. If you're not creating pressure this week, I have major questions.
So here's another thing about that. This is what I think about when people say that. It's I think this is how Sean McVay is going to play it. That something like that is a team-wide issue, right? Like, and even down to the defensive coordinator. Because I think about it like this. If I'm Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, I know the offensive line is what it is. We're going to have, like, these little five-yard digs, and I'm getting the ball out. Like, as good as the defensive line is, they can't get to him.
You're just scheming them out.
Yeah, they can't get to him in 0.3 seconds. Like, the ball's already out. Mm-hmm. So this is why I say it's team-wide. Defensive coordinator, press coverage. Corners, you lock up. So when he tries to go to that little five-yard dig, it's not there. Now you're giving the defensive line an opportunity to get there. But you can – because I feel like Aaron Rodgers did that a little bit in week one. Like, he knew he couldn't move. Mm-hmm. He knew there wasn't a lot going on. So let me just get it out real quick. And that affects sacks numbers and pressure numbers, I think. I don't know. That's
exactly
a little bit more of an untrained eye, I guess, maybe. But
it's exactly what happened in week two against the Rams last year.
Yeah.
Like, almost exactly. Puka
Steve
Nakua,
Wilkes had him 10 yards off the line of scrimmage.
And Puka Nakua had a huge game, but they turned the faucet off in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think you're going to see again.
I agree.
This week.
I agree. It needs to happen, at least. I mean, the whole offensive line is second stringers, right?
No, they got their starting tackles, but one of them's coming off his suspension. One of them's playing hurt. Their starting right guard is playing, but he's playing hurt. It's like a rookie sixth-round pick at center.
Jimmy G's ready to go.
Well,
Jimmy G back from suspension.
Yeah, from suspension.
I forgot he got suspended.
Yeah, he's out there shooting the roids and all that.
I don't want Matthew Stafford or anybody to get hurt, but that would be unbelievable cinema if Jimmy G came into that game.
If Jimmy G comes in and lights it up, I'm going to call him Travis Matthew Stafford. That's
Jimmy
a good
G,
joke.
Jimmy G.
I'm going to give myself
I can safely say Jimmy G not coming in and lighting it up. Even if he comes in, he might not be terrible, but he ain't like
that. Would be the that's the worst. We have like 30 seconds here. That's the worst possible outcome, right? Yeah. Matthew Stafford gets hurt. Jimmy comes in and lights it up.
Yeah, and the Rams win. Yeah.
Oh god, that'd be terrible.
Say Jimmy G lights it up.
That happens,
way better.
If that happens, I'm not coming in Monday. If that happens, I'm not coming in on Monday.
Oh, man.
Oh, what do you guys got coming up?
49er Friday, baby. 49er Friday plus, you know, some random college stuff. Cash Careway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, where?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cash you got me at 12:15.
Yeah,
I'll be in here. I'll be
Eddie Gonzalez pulling up, too, as well.
Oh, I love Eddie's the man. Big Eddie Gonzalez guy. All right. Jesse, thank you so much. Great job the last couple of days. James will be back Monday. We will be back Monday on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader, D'Lo and KC next. Until Monday at 10, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.